Welcome to Breathe Together, your daily breathwork and meditation live classes, available now on Apple and Google Play stores. Today is episode one of our podcast. So we've got Jessica Lewis from the Shipibo Market, who is a beautiful soul and an amazing healer. So sit back, relax, enjoy the show. See you soon. Okay, good afternoon, day, evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Joby from Breathe Together. And I have my beautiful friend Jess Lewis from Shipibo Market. Many of you might know her. She sells the most amazing shamanic stuff on there, so go and check it out. I'll put all the links in the description below, but you can hear all about it if you don't know. So Jess, thank you for coming on.
Joby, thank you for having me.
Oh my God, we've been trying to get this interview organized for so long, and I'm so grateful to have you on. Your knowledge and wisdom is impeccable, and I know we're going to be able to help a lot of people with this. So we're going to be talking about plant medicines, we're going to be talking about healing, all what Jess is doing, how she's helping people, the results she's getting, and what a beautiful soul that Jess really is. So I hope you guys get some value from this as well. So Jess, thank you. Tell us a little bit about, for those of you that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
Right, so I have my fingers in a few pies, standard, always being like that. So I have, as you've mentioned, the shamanic shop, the Shipibo Market. I've been doing that just over 5 years now. So that's working with indigenous tribal communities that are spread across the South Americas, across the Amazon jungle. And I started it a few years back to be able to give trade to indigenous tribes and communities. So that's that. I'm on the Care Home Medicine Wheel, which I study in this country, in the UK. And I've been doing that since 2017. And I'm just about moving to the last final part into the East, which is exciting. And that's really helped me transform my life as well as, you know, bring some amazing healing techniques to my clients as well. I also do medicine music. So I sing medicine music in ceremonies and record as well. And then on top of that, I also do some conscious parties and events with my friends.
Amazing. You're helping so many people. And you have such a good following on social with the Shipibo Market as well. So tell us a little bit more detail about the Shipibo Market. What is it you're actually doing with the bit more detail with the shop?
Okay, so I started working with one Shipibo family back in May 2016 is when I actually started. And so the Shipibo people, they've got this amazing artwork. You've probably see this here. This is Shipibo. These patterns are patterns that you'll see often when you drink ayahuasca. And these are actually musical scores. So this can be sung. This is a Nakaro. And their artwork is amazing. They put it on their boats, their houses, their pottery, everything. And it's all for healing and protection and things like that. But what's happened is as the younger generation have gone on social media, they've become less interested. They've gone sort of more down a Western way of life. So they've become less interested in learning the embroidery and things like that. So the art is dying out. So I started working with one Shipibo family, and then I started working with a Shipibo lady who started a Shipibo organization to protect their art, basically, and encourage more young ones to go into that field to keep their art going. So she started with working with just three people, and now she's got like 50 women working with her, and it's just so amazing to be able to support them and give them a trade. And so now I work with lots of different tribal communities across Brazil and Peru, and just help to bring their medicines to the UK and further field. I sell things all over the world. And it's just to be able to give people access to the medicines, especially like in the times that we're in this last year, people have really needed to have access to these medicines just to keep themselves, you know, aligned and keep themselves healthy. And it's just a different way of keeping themselves healthy, I guess. So I'm able to provide these medicines to people, medicines that they wouldn't necessarily be able to get, because obviously a lot of these people live like right deep into the jungle. The Huni Quin, for example, they're like 4 days into the jungle, you know, so it's not like people can nip there and grab these things. So it's just a way to make things more accessible for people, but also to provide them a trade.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's such amazing work that you're doing, and to be able to bring that into the Western world and help so many people is beautiful. So talk to me a little bit about the healing work you're doing as well. How are you helping people? So if someone's watching this today and they're looking for a bit of information, how can you provide value for people that are watching this
today? As already mentioned, I'm on the care home medicine wheel. So within that, there is like many, many, many different healing techniques. It's all shamanic. It's shamanic work. And but it deals with like, because obviously a lot of people are carrying around trauma. A lot of people are carrying around unresolved trauma, and they don't necessarily know how to bring that to the surface to heal it. We're not taught how to do that, right? We are not taught how to get to the root cause of our traumas. People are literally walking around as wounded children dressed as adults. So what I really love about the medicine wheel is that it helps people get to the root of their traumas, and people actually, so it's not that I'm actually healing people's traumas, they're actually bringing it to light themselves. I'm just guiding them through the process, and then they're able to go away and work with it and heal themselves. Like, we are our own medicine, and it's about empowering people to be able to give them the tools to do the work themselves. I actually specialize in attachment and entity removal. These things come to us because we have unresolved trauma and wounds, and they basically sit on that energy and they basically feed off it. So often what will happen is part of our soul will make a deal with the sort of part of our wounded soul will make a deal with an entity. So it'll basically, the entity will sit on the wound so we don't feel it anymore, and they will feed off the energy of it. And this is what happens. So people will struggle to find the root cause of the trauma or root cause of the behavior patterns. And so what I do is I remove these energies so that people are able to move forward with their growth, because while we have these energies sat within our energy bodies and our physical bodies, we are only able to go so far with our healing and so far with our growth. So I basically remove these energies to enable people to heal their traumas and alleviate these things. And as we heal and as we grow and evolve, we get less and less of these energies attaching to us and influencing our decisions and infiltrating into our lives. So that's basically the kind of work that I specialize in. But within the medicine wheel, I'm able to do soul retrieval with people, which is amazing. So this is like parts of our soul that are separated from us at points of trauma. And I'm able to bring these soul parts back to people so that they feel more whole and more connected with themselves and less disconnected and scattered. We are doing like timeline healings, which is really powerful. This is like where you take someone back to various points in their lives where they've had a major impact on their future and their present, and they are able to rewrite the story of what's happened and then sort of heal it at that level. It's very powerful. We also do fire ceremonies, lots of different things. There's lots of techniques and lots of ways that I can help people to heal basically themselves.
Amazing. And that is the thing, you know, we are the medicine. And when, yes, when people understand that, so the healer's job is to actually help people heal themselves.
Yes, that's exactly it. And you know what it is, like, I'm a big plant medicine fan. Anybody that knows me, anybody that follows me on social media will say that I'm like a massive plant medicine fan, but actually we are the medicine. All the answers that we need are within us. Like, everything that we need to be able to heal ourselves is inside of us. We have all the answers, but sometimes we just can't get to them because of our minds, like the way our mind is, do you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need that little bit of guidance to help you to get to the point where you can just recognize that you're the medicine.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, for me, it's with what I do with my clients, the same sort of thing is I'm teaching people, giving people the guidance to do it himself. And yeah, the plant medicines have helped me a lot. They helped me heal so many traumas, but they also brought up I had some entities and stuff come to me during like a plant medicine ceremony, and that was again, if I didn't know what I was doing, I wouldn't have been able to heal from it as quick as I could. And some people will obviously not have the tools, but they'll have that attachment put onto them or something. But let's talk a little bit about going into that, the plant medicines. How can it actually help people? What does it do for the body? What does it do for the mind?
So what the amazing thing with plant medicines is, right? So as I said, right, people can struggle often to pinpoint. So they'll have behavioral things, right? But people will just pass it down to like, oh, that's part of me, that's part of who I am. But actually, it's not, right? It's unresolved wounds and traumas that you're carrying that's making you act in certain ways and think a certain way. So often we can go through life blinded to this. And what the plant medicines do is they point this out. They show us, actually, this is what's going on here. So that's the amazing thing about the plants. But the thing is, right, they are not a magic fix. A lot of people will come to plant medicines and they will do it as they want some sort of like magical fix, but it doesn't work like that, right? The plants are amazing at pointing things out and showing you what you need to heal, but then the rest is down to you. And that's when the hard work actually starts outside of the ceremony, when you're back in your daily life and being triggered. It's about deciding to make a different decision and understand that you're operating from a wound when you get triggered. So the plants are amazing for pointing these things out. And often we can, in ceremony, work through those things and take away the trauma and take away the pain that is driving it and come to some sort of resolution, basically. So that's the beauty about plant medicines and how they operate.
Yeah, absolutely. So if someone was looking to do some plant medicine and go down that path, what would be your advice for them?
My advice would be to make sure that who you're going to is well equipped and not just somebody that's decided to do it one night and just started doing it.
Yeah.
Find out their credentials, see what skills they have. And also, I think it's really important that who you're going to knows how to deal with entities, because like a lot of people will face these things. A lot of things will come up to the surface. And if you've got a facilitator that does not know how to handle that situation, then you're not really going to get any help, decent help. So I would say find out if they have this skill, if they know how to deal with entities and remove attachments safely. Because if these things come up and they don't know what to do, then a person could end up more traumatized than what they were when they went into that ceremony. Yeah, exactly.
So I actually had that in Colombia. Shamans that we went to work with over there, I had really dark entity come in and they didn't help me one bit. Mm. I was like, all right, I need your help, I need you to come and here, like, do some healing on me and remove this. And they were just like, and then they sort of walked out of the room and just left me.
Yeah.
And so it actually caused me so much more damage than what it could have been.
Exactly, because when these things come to the surface, it can be extremely traumatic. So the first time I ever drank medicine, ayahuasca, this happened to me, right? This happened to me in ceremony. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought something was trying to possess me, but actually it was something that was already attached to me. And I was literally terrified. I was literally, I can't even express to you, Joby, like what was going on in my head. I was literally terrified. And I was traumatized afterwards for a period of time. And the facilitator was like, just patted me on the back and said, because I asked, I was like, oh my God, I've just experienced this thing. Like, what's happened? And she was like, oh, you're just letting go. And actually I wasn't. I had a really serious attachment. And it wasn't until many years later that I was able to get rid of this thing, because it kept resurfacing in ceremonies. And literally every time I went, even if I was with different people, they would not know how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Actually, in the end, it was something that I got rid of myself, thanks to like the training that I went on. But I went through this thing for years, and literally like the facilitators just didn't have a clue how to handle it, which is really bad, because if you've got a client, a patient, whatever you want to refer to them as, somebody that's coming to your circles and they go through this and you don't know how to do it, like that could seriously traumatize them further.
Yeah, of course, exactly. And if someone's got a bit of a weak mind, right, like their mind's controlling them and they're not controlling the mind, as you said, it's just, it can cause more trauma. So people need to know that this isn't just all rainbows, magic lights, and it is, this is work, you know, this is deep,
exactly. And also, I think it's really important to understand about journey navigation. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this because so many facilitators do not. There's a way to keep yourself safe, right, from anything else attaching to you while you're journeying, right? And there's rules to the cosmos, to the universe, right, that everything has to abide by. And the thing is, the entities, they don't actually have any power. The only thing they've got is lies and deceit. So what they'll do is they'll try and trick people, and they can also shapeshift, right? So it's really weird because they're bound by different laws that we are. They're two-dimensional. They live in a 2D world, but they can change shape and project certain images to us to make us, to trick us into attaching, right? So they can project themselves as loved ones. They can project themselves as the divine. Like I've had people say, I thought it was the divine. You know, they can project themselves as anything they want. So with discernment, right, when you're journeying, you've got to check in to see if this thing is legit, what you're experiencing, even if it's saying it's your spirit guide, even if it's presenting itself as your spirit guide. What the simple way that you can check if this thing is legit is to ask three times, are you medicine? Right, now they can lie twice, but on the third time they have to tell the truth. So if on the third time they don't answer, or you get a no, then you can say to that entity, I'm sorry, you're not part of my journey, you need to leave. And it will, because you have free will. This is why they have to tell the truth the third time, because we have free will and they have to abide by our free will. Otherwise, then what's the point of having free will? So if you're journeying on your own or in a circle and you experience any sort of entity of any kind, doesn't matter whether it's coming across as a really amazing, positive being, then just check in three times, are you medicine? And that will save you a whole heap of problems, like with attachments. And also never, ever, if you've got something coming to you and telling you to sing in a car roll, don't do it. Like, just do not do it, because this is a way that we can get in. So I don't want to scare people off as well. Like, I don't want to like make people be like, oh my God. But like at the end of the day, this is spiritual maintenance. This is like spiritual hygiene. And if you're going to be working with plants, then you've got to understand that there is more to journeying than rainbows and unicorns. It's just the way it is. And whilst we have unresolved traumas in us, and unresolved wounds and unresolved stories, they have a resonance and they will attract entities, because the entities want to come sit on those wounds and feed off the traumas. So until we get to a point where we are fully enlightened and we're healed and we don't have any of these issues anymore, unfortunately, things are going to be attracted to us. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, as you said, we don't want to scare people, because it is a beautiful process, but we just want to, it's just the
keep people safe.
Yeah, exactly. Because the amount of times I've been to work with plants, not once have they ever said anything about spiritual protection.
There you go. This is what I'm talking about. Until I did my training and stuff like that, like I had never heard these words from anyone either. But it's really, really important. This is the thing, right? 100% of my clients have entities that they need removed, and a lot of them will pick up through journeying.
Yeah, so yeah, it's
really deep, important.
Yeah, exactly, it's deep work, and thank you for sharing that. But it's going to more of a bit of a positive spin on it.
Move away from the darkness.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to bring that, but obviously it was quite resonant to get that across, because I feel like it can help people. But I feel like, tell us a little bit about like your good things you're doing with the medicines, like the dieters, how it can help the body, how it can help you cleanse the body and stuff like that.
Right. So I'm about to embark on a dieter that I've been wanting to do for years. I didn't think I was going to get around to doing it anytime soon because I've got a little one, as you know, Joby, you've met her, and I didn't want to like leave her to go off to the jungle to do this. But basically it's I've had the chance to do it here. So in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing that. So it's a Neuerau plant diet. Not many people have heard of Neuerau. It's some people say it's a mythical tree, but it actually really exists. So I know people that have died of this plant and taken photos of the tree. And so all plant medicines. So actually, let me start at the beginning. So Neuerau is a really enlightened being. And in this plane, in this 3D world, she looks like this particular tree, right? But she is has her own world. So she's got her own world. She's our own boss of that world, if you like. And she's full of light, only light. So all plants have a light and a dark side. Ayahuasca has a light and a darkness to it. All of the plants have a light and a darkness to it. And it's not that the plants are imperfect. The plants are perfect. They just reflect back at us, our light and our dark side. So Neuerau is a fully enlightened being, and she only has light to her. And she's full of so much light that our leaves actually glow, which is kind of like Avatar, if you think about it. So she's full of a lot of wisdom. And the Shipibo say that she was the first plant spirit here on this earth. And she seeded life with the whole of the Amazon rainforest. So she is like the mother earth of plant spirit. She's the ultimate master teacher plant. And that, like I say, I've wanted to diet this plant for a very long time. This is her here. This is a piece of the Neuerau wood. Wow. So in a few weeks' time, I'm going to be going into isolation and dieting this plant. So I will fast for a couple of days. And then after that, I'll have like one meal a day consisting of no more than three vegetables, plain, no like, you know, oils. You can't really cook it. And I'll do that for a period of time. And the whole time I've dieted out people, which is going to be hard because obviously I'm not going to be around my little girl during this time. So that is going to be quite a challenge. But the diet is also not just dieting out people. You've got to diet all these things out to build a connection with the plant spirit. And then from there, they can easily teach you and guide you, and you form the plant ally. So you sing a Akaro. There's like certain Akaros that I'll have to sing to make the connection to my diet. And if my mind starts thinking about food or starts thinking about things that are not on diet, there's Akaros that I can sing to straighten the lines of my diet, to strengthen it and keep, because the thing is, your diet can grow crooked. If you start thinking about sex or food, start thinking about, like, you know, this chocolate sundae that you want to eat when you come out the diet, your diet starts to grow crooked. So it's about keeping the diet pure and clean. So it's, you're singing these Akaros to keep yourself like in alignment with that diet. And yeah, so basically you do this for a period of time, but then even after it's intensive basically for 8 days. And then after that, I'm still on diet for the next 30 days. So I will not be allowed to do certain things. I won't be allowed to work with different plant medicines. There's one that I can work with, but other than that, I'm not allowed to work with any other plants during this time, because it's still about, because it's the shaman that's holding me on this diet put it beautifully, right? He said, it's like, if you break up with someone, you're not going to jump into bed with their friend like the next day. So it's the same with the plants. Like when you come off the diet, you're still building that relationship with that plant, and you're not just going to bring in everything that you've dieted out, because everything that we do is a diet. You know, you can build a diet with broccoli if you're eating enough of it. I've had diets with various things in my life that are not particularly healthy, so it's about like letting them go and removing all of those other diets that I've done before that weren't necessarily healthy, like, you know, different things that I've done in my past, and just forming that diet with Neuerau. And then after that, once I've done that diet, then I will look at doing other plant diets. I would quite like to diet the tobacco plant, because the tobacco is all about healing and protection, so it would be a great ally. Bobinsana is another amazing plant to diet. It's for spiritual protection. So these are relationships that you're forming with these plant spirits, so that when you're doing your healing work and when you're doing your ceremony work, you've got these plant allies that's got your back. So yeah, it's really an important step for me now.
Yeah, exactly. So you touched on the tobacco plant. and the tobacco diet. So let's talk a little bit about rapé. Everyone says yeah. it's different. Let's talk a little bit about that, how the medicine helps people, what it does. Obviously, you've got such great experience with the medicine as well. So I feel this could help people as well.
Yeah. So tobacco has been demonized, right? We only know it in the West as something that's going to kill you and cause cancer and create a massive addiction, which is true, right? But if you abuse any plant, it's going to have a negative effect. But the tobacco that we know in the Western society has, it's not the tobacco that I'm talking about, right? It's a far cry away from mapacho, right? Or moy, or whichever other ceremonial tobacco that you want to talk about. The spirit of tobacco, the ceremonial tobacco, not Lambert and Butler, which has been caked with chemicals and it literally doesn't even look anything like the ceremonial tobacco. But the spirit of the tobacco is, it's like a father medicine, and it works excellently with ayahuasca. So it brings the protection, the ceremony and the healing. Believe it or not, tobacco spirit has a healing quality to it. So I work with tobacco when I'm doing my healings. I have a very strong connection with mapacho. Mapacho, the same ayahuasca and mapacho are actually lovers. I don't know about that, but this is the rumor that's going around.
Okay. I've heard that one before.
Yeah, no, well, tobacco, so around Pacho, no negativity can exist, right? Anything that's malevolent cannot stand to be around it. So it's excellent if you're under attack from an entity or something like this in ceremony. But it's also great for removing attachments and things like that. But it's also great for removing blockages. So I'll have clients that come to me with various problems. One of my clients recently came and she'd had a problem with her ligaments. Oh my God, she was going through it, right? She literally had chronic pain with her leg. And I give her this healing. I sang in a coro and I used the mapacho and blew the mapacho smoke onto the area. And it basically shifted the blockage out. Whatever was there was gone. So it helps to dissolve that. It helps to remove. But it also brings the protection in as well. So tobacco is one of the main ingredients in rapé, or rapé, depending on if you're from Brazil or Peru, it's pronounced differently. And you basically, so each tribe has their own blend and maybe many different blends. The Huniquin have quite a few different blends that they have, but they all have tobacco in them. And that's the main ingredient. So tobacco, when you take it in as rapé, has a very detoxifying effect, if you like, on the system. So often if you do enough of it, I mean, if you're taking just like a small amount, it's not going to make you purge, usually. Disclaimer, usually. But if you're taking it in a larger quantity, like in a ceremonial dose, then it will make you purge. When I work with rapé, I work with it in a huge amount because I want to purge, I want to release, I want to have that detoxification, especially if my mind's being a bit like if I've gone through like a stressful period or something like that, I will take a ceremonial dose of rapé and I will purge it out. I'll get rid of it. So they have like different plants and things like that in the rapé as well. It's not just the tobacco, but tobacco is the main thing. And, you know, it's not easy. It's not an easy plant medicine to do, particularly if you do it in ceremony, in a ceremonial dose. You know, people can really go through it, and it can take like quite a while for the person to get back to, I don't want to say get back to normal, but like I don't know how else to say it. It can take like a while for the effects to wear off and for the person to come out the other side of it. But when they come out of the other side of it, they feel more aligned, they feel more in tune, they feel like they have had a healing, like a deep healing. The purging is something that puts a lot of people off with these medicines, but actually the purging is an amazing, amazing thing. And it's something that I love now, right? I love having a good old purge because it's like, yeah, like I'm like, when I'm going through it, I'm like, yeah, get this out of me. Whatever it is, I don't need it. Get it out into the bucket. You know, like these are things like trapped emotions or like maybe germs, like viruses and things like that. The medicine just like takes it and gets it out of you. Things that are going to go on and make you sick in the bucket.
Yeah, nice. You got to love a sacred bucket.
All these medicines, you know, none of them are easy to do. They either taste hardcore they make you purge or they hurt in some way or another, and it's just the way it is. That's the release, you know, that's all the purging.
Yeah, you know, we have to go through wherever there is pain, there is always a gift.
Exactly.
Discomfort brings growth. Yeah.
It really does.
It's just part of life, you know, and it is part of the spiritual journey. It is part of the healing journey. Deep inner work is tough, you know.
It's not easy.
So many people think, oh, the spiritual journey is all beautiful rainbows, meditations, and it can be a process, and a lot of people don't realize that, especially with the energies pouring into the earth right now.
Yeah, it's intense for people.
So intense for some people. Some people have literally been shaken. Like, everything is coming up for them. Everything. Yeah. So as healers, I feel that we're going to have our work cut out in the next coming months, year, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And this is quite good. Why it's good to do the work now. You know, there's nothing like the present. We are in the continuous flow of now. That's all we have. And it's just about getting your mindset right and being here in the now moment, having the tools, having the equipment, having the right people around you, like yourself, who can really get into people's deep wounds and unlock their full potential.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Like, the more these medicines are tough to do. And sometimes even just the healing without the medicine can be tough to do. Like, things will come to the surface that people don't necessarily want to face. But at the end of the day, if you do not face your traumas, they don't just sit there unnoticed. They come out in subconscious ways through phobias or like fears or like bad decision making or like just blocking you from like having a joyful, happy life. So as hard as it is, right, it's gotta happen. Like, these things have to come out one way or the other. And you know, I'd far better like just go through like a tough time and in ceremony with these plants and get it out than sit with that in me day in, day out, having it rule me, being held hostage, because that's what it is. You just get held hostage by your bullshit that you've not healed. So you know, sometimes and also these medicines really connect with that warrior energy to make you stand in your power and get your power back. Do you know what I mean? Because while we are being held hostage by our traumas and all these things, like, we're not standing in our power.
No.
And therefore we're not like accessing the amount of joy in life that we could be. Yeah, so exactly. It's worth it, you know, for the short amount of discomfort that these plants maybe put us through. It is worth it in the long run. It really is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all about finding peace, finding love, finding happiness. And just unconditional love for ourselves in every aspect and every way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the quickest way that I've found through the work that I'm doing and my guides and everything, is that we have to find the peace.
Yes, definitely.
We have to find peace. And when we find peace, the traumas and everything, when we raise our vibration to such a frequency, traumas are they're all the negative energies, all the poisons, all the toxins just can't live in our body.
No.
So it's perfect in every way. But yeah, so if there's anything that you'd like to finish up with, any advice, tips, and then, well, this is part one, by the way, people. We're going to come back with part two, where
part two
Jessie's going to do some micros and some healing for you. So it's going to be like a bit of a sound healing. And I'm sure you're gonna really enjoy that. So keep an eye out for that as well. But yeah, anything you'd like to just finish up on?
Just don't be ruled by your fears. Yeah, do not be ruled by your fears. Fear is an opportunity for growth, right? So if you're experiencing fear in your life, then just face it and go through it and come out the other side. Because often when we are held back by fears, when we eventually go through it and face it, we actually realize that it wasn't that bad in the first place. And we feel amazing as well. It's like, you know, when you come out of the other side from something and you smash through that block and you're out of the other side, you feel good. You feel really empowered. So I just want to say to people, don't be held back by your fears. Be brave. Get in touch with that warrior energy and just get through whatever you need to get through.
Yeah, absolutely. Inner strength, power, courage, faith, yes, belief, and absolutely love yourself all, yes, the way. Fill yourself with so much love and grace, yes, and gratitude, and enjoy the magic of life.
Yes, and look at shadow work. If you don't know what shadow work is, just Google it. There's so much out there. Shadow work, if you're on a spiritual path, it's like love and light is great, but actually we're here to do the work. We're here to get better. So don't mask over things by positive, toxic positivity, really. Don't mask over things with, oh, love and light now. I don't want to feel this and did it because I'm meant to feel positive. Do your shadow work and you'll feel much happier.
Course. So if people want to connect with you or get some healing with you or learn more about the plants, how do they get in touch with you, Jess?
You can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is @IAM_Jess with an A on the end, so Jessie_OM, or the Shipibo Market. You can find the Instagram there and you can contact me on either. And yeah, I would love to hear from anyone that would like to you know, get healing work or just connect, really.
Yeah, perfect. So I'll be definitely sending this out to a lot of people. So it's great. So thank you for joining me for part one. We're going to come back with part two, everyone. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoyed the show and you're going to really enjoy part two. So Jesse, thank you, my beautiful friend.
Thank you so much, brother.
No worries. I'll speak to you soon and we'll record. Yes. All right, everyone. See you soon.
See you soon.
Adios.